Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. Our Bible passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
Thanks, Greg. Well, as I said at the outset, I'm delighted to have Carl Faye speaking this morning. Carl was on staff for 20 years, senior pastor for 18. I worked with him for those 18 years. One of the things that Carl and Jane were focused on while they were here was a sense of God calling them to resource the wider church, particularly through media. And so in 2014, they made the decision of faith to step into Olive Tree Media full time and have been doing so ever since. The resources that they produce have been wonderful gifts to the church. They've continued to be part of our church, which has been really wonderful as well, even though they're relatively irregular in their attendance patterns. They're traveling around, speaking at other churches, and filming in various places around the world, and so I understand that that's the case. I've tried not to take that personally either. But it was really delightful to be able to approach them about doing Encounter, the latest Olive Tree Media release, and also to get in early enough to make sure that Carl could speak here. So for those of you who know Carl, this will be easy. For those of you who have never seen him before because you've never been here when he's here, this is Carl Faye. Would you please welcome him as he shares with us this morning?
Thanks, Mark. Good on you. Thank you, Mark. It is a pleasure to be here and to be here. Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity both to speak this morning. I know it's kind of tricky asking the old guy back, so it's very gracious of you to do that. And we're really excited that you're doing Encounter, and we love the series. We think some of the best stuff that we've ever produced over the time, over the years. And this morning, what will happen over the next 9 weeks, I understand, is that each time the message will be on the encounter that's spoken about in that episode. So there are 10 episodes, and each episode is about an encounter that Jesus has with somebody. Although the first one is Mary. So technically Jesus is involved, but you get my drift. All the rest of them, there's an encounter that Jesus has with somebody, and that will be the sermon. But this morning, what I'm going to do is, as it were, introduce the whole series as a way of saying, so what's Encounter about? What was the motivation to create it? And what is it that you will see over these 10 episodes? And the intriguing thing is, when we started to produce Encounter, what wasn't just a moment of great inspiration, there was a sense of asking the question, and we talk to a number of people, even overseas, to say, what's going on in the world at the moment? What's happening? Is there any shifts? How do we respond to some of the shifts in Western nations? And the intriguing thing that we found is that there is a change. There's a change going on. Now, all of us tend to function a bit on status quo bias. In other words, what's happening at the moment will happen in the future. And kind of there'll be some change in trajectory and stuff. But there's this notion that where we are as nations, as people, and as churches won't change much into the future. And if we go back to, say, 2010 to 2015, the new atheists reigned supreme. They were across all of the globe. The church was seen to be supposedly dying. There's this notion that that's the status quo bias that we're on. And yet there's been a shift. And it's probably post-COVID, who knows why there's been a shift, but there's been a shift in Western nations, including Australia. The West is seeing a new longing for enchantment, a deeper life, and an encounter with the divine. Now, some of you will hear that and think, that sounds a little aspirational, Carl. We'd love that to be true, but is it true? And the intriguing thing is that's true in people's experience, but it's also true in a number of different ways. And one of them is a shift in authors and thinkers around the globe. Let's go back to 2009. In 2009, Christopher Hitchens released a book that was, you know, sold well across the world and was known across the world, and it was God is Not Good, How Religion Poisons Everything. He was one of the four horsemen, the apocalypse of the new atheists. Richard Dawkins also wrote a book called The God Delusion, released in 2006, sold 6 million copies across the globe. And yet, what are writers and thinkers writing now? Well, one is Tom Holland, not the Spider-Man actor. But Tom Holland has written a book called Dominion. It's not a Christian. That's not the background of the book. But he's not coming at this from a religious point of view. But Holland says the whole book, Dominion, is about 400 pages. It's basically saying, here is the influence of the Christian faith across the globe over the last 2,000 years and how it impacts the West. Jordan Peterson, as soon as you mention that name, you've split the audience. Half want to cheer, the other half want to boo. I understand that. Jordan Peterson's latest book, do you know what it's called? We Who Wrestle With God. Now, I'm not here saying that Jordan Peterson's a Christian. There are those like Greg Sheridan, writer for The Australian, who thinks he is. I'm not sure. I don't know where he stands. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. But here's this notion of we who wrestle with God. And so you've got this shift, and you have people like Ion Hershey Ali, look her up later. She's actually come out in Unheard magazine in November 2023, high-profile person, good friend of the new atheists, and has come out and said, the article's called Why I'm Now a Christian. She's married to Niall Ferguson, one of the best-known historians across the globe. Niall Hershey-Ali and their two children were baptized. And let's not go into Russell Brand getting baptized. There is a shift and a change in the thinkers and writers that are happening in the world today. But not only that, there's a thing called a quiet revival. The Bible Society in the UK did a bunch of research on people's their attitude to faith, and they're basically saying right now there's a quiet revival. People are going back to Pentecostal churches and Catholic churches. And that quiet revival, which is interesting, but there's so much more that can be said about each of these things. What's interesting about the quiet revival is one of the groups that's most impacted is the 18 to 24-year-olds. In 2019, 4% said they went to church very regularly. By 2024, 25, that had jumped to 16%. In that period of time, there has been an 87% increase in the sale of Bibles in the United Kingdom. And what's even more interesting, in that younger age bracket, young men are more deeply influenced than young women. All of that says, there's a shift going on. All of that says there's this, because if you went back to the new atheists, you would have said, you know, basically what's going to happen is the new atheists, everybody's giving up on the idea of God. Eventually the generation turning up the church will die off and that'll be the end of it all. And we'll all live as happy atheists. That was the trajectory. Yet what's happened is nobody wants to be a happy atheist because they actually want a deeper life. One of the guests that you in your small groups will start on week two. In week one, there are two key guests. I'm going to mention them today. One is Martin Shaw. He has a doctorate in mythology. Okay, I don't know how you know he can knock doctorate in mythology either, but he has one. He has a really interesting story and a quite remarkable experience about how he encountered Jesus. But here was the reason. This is Martin Shaw telling about the reason that he was exploring a deeper life.
And in the middle of that long period of being alone, all the things that I'd been hiding in my own heart, the longing for a religious dimension to my life, for something with greater meaning, with depth, it all came to the surface. And while that didn't articulate itself in the form of Christ at that moment, I knew I wanted a deeper life, as millions of people do.
If there's a theme of talking about encounter as a series, it's that notion. I knew I wanted a deeper life, as millions of people do. We're not going on as happy atheists because there's something more within us that we want a deeper life. The intriguing thing is that there are also those people who are turning up to church like you do on a regular basis. But that doesn't mean that you're necessarily totally satisfied with your experience of faith, belief, and worship. There's a guy who's called Rod Dreher who's written a book called Living in Wonder. I'm going to quote Rod Dreher in a moment, but he talks about a young man who came to see him and they're chatting about his experience. And the young man says to him this, "I believe it all, but I'm desperate for a sense of enchantment." It's very easy to believe all the right stuff, isn't it? Tick all the right theological boxes. Know that, yes, my beliefs are biblical, and I just think there's a sense of that, isn't there? We want a sense of enchantment. We want to be in touch with what's going on at a deeper level of life. We want God to encounter us in a way that will change who we are as people. And Rod Dreher writes this about enchantment. He said, "Christian re-enchantment is not about imposing fanciful nostalgia upon the world. It's about learning how to perceive what already exists. God has already enchanted the world. It's up to us to clear away the scales from our eyes, recognize what is there, and establish a relationship with it, to have an encounter with Jesus." Not an idea, not a theology, all of those things are important, not a doctrine, all those things are important, but this sense that we have encountered Jesus deeply and personally, and it's become engaged in our lives. One of the things for that to happen, and Rod Dreher's getting at this in that quote, is that we need to lose our sense of skepticism and cynicism. And we all suffer from it. My prophetic word over you, I'm a Baptist, so you won't take it too seriously, I know. My prophetic word over you is that you're going to go through this series and you're going to hear some of these stories and you're going to go, "I don't know. That's a bit out there. That's a bit like, that's like Katrina having a dream. Seriously, Katrina?" You know, like we don't say it out loud because it's the wrong thing to do, but we feel it in our hearts. And it's this cynicism and skepticism that actually keeps us from being enchanted. Let me remind you of something. We believe in a supernatural God. We believe in the Spirit of God touches humanity. We believe in the Spirit of God breaks into the world. And yet it's our Western cynicism and skepticism that keeps us from experiencing what God wants for us. But what's kind of confronting and comforting is that that's been true right from the beginning. Mark on Easter Sunday, when I was here, Mark on Easter Sunday talked about John's gospel and talked about the fact that all the disciples didn't automatically assume that Jesus was raised to life from the dead. And I want to go to this passage in Luke chapter 24 that Greg read for us. Now, this passage is intriguing. It's another retelling. And there's a confronting verse in this. What's happened is that you know the story. We've just been through Easter. It ought to be fresh in your mind. The women go to the tomb. There's nobody there. We know that from Luke's gospel, there are two angels there. Why are you looking for the living in the place of the dead? You know that in John's gospel, Mary's in the garden and she encounters Jesus personally in the garden. And they come back and they tell the disciples. Two of the disciples run to the tomb. They look in. There's nobody there. And they run, they come back and they talk to the disciples. And this verse struck me just recently again. I don't know if I've never seen it before. I'm sure I've seen You'll be pleased to know I have seen it before. But it never really struck me. Look at verse 11. It's going to come up on the screen as well. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Let that sink in. These guys were early Australians. They are so skeptical. They are so cynical. These are the followers of Jesus. These are the closest people to Jesus. And their response when the women come back and said, Mary comes back, I've seen Jesus. The angels talked to us and said, he's alive. And their response was, not so much. Like, really? Is there any wonder? It's a human default that's been built into us, I think, by the fall, that we're cynical and skeptical. And then there's these two people that are on their way home. Now, if you look through this passage, we won't go through all the little details, but if you look through the passage, what you know from what Greg read to us is they were very close to Jesus. They were basically in the room when the women came back. They weren't one of the disciples, but they were in the inner sanctum. They were there. They were ready. Potentially, N.T. Wright says that they may have been at the foot of the cross. That's a long story which I won't go into. They're right in the inner circle. And just have a look at verse 13. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to the village of Emmaus. They were going home. On the day that Mary said she'd met Jesus in the garden. On the day that the women said they saw two angels at the tomb saying that he's risen. On that day, they're going home. They're giving up. It's all too hard. They don't believe. So if anybody of you are sitting here this morning thinking, John, I really struggle with belief. I'm just not sure. You're in great company across the centuries. Across this community, belief is not something that's our default position. Cynicism and skepticism is our default position. So what changed for these two people? Well, they encountered Jesus. And there's five parts of this encounter which actually is a great overview of what we do in this series, Encounter, and what you will see over the next 5 weeks. What are the five elements that you see in this passage where ways that people encounter Jesus and ways that we can both encounter Jesus ourselves and we can help other people encounter Jesus? What are the five ways? Well, the first is this: conversation. Pretty groundbreaking, eh? Write that down. Conversation. Look at what happens. They're walking along, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, verse 15, Jesus himself came and walked alongside of them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, there's all these sorts of discussion about why they didn't recognize Jesus. I think it's, and I'll say this again later, I think it's a spiritual act, it's a miraculous act of the Spirit of God that they were kept from recognizing Jesus. And then there's this great moment. So what are you discussing? And they stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening?" It's a bit like if you bump into someone today and you say to them, "So, what do you think about Albanese being elected last night?" And they say to you, "Was there an election?" What would you say? Well, one, you've got a fine coming your way. Two, you would say, "Are you the only person in the Shire who doesn't know there was an election?" And that's what they're saying. And then there's this interesting interaction. So Jesus says, "What things?" And they have a conversation. And it's in that conversation that an encounter with Jesus opens up. And the conversation doesn't start because they've done a course on how to start good conversations for the gospel. It doesn't start because they're really keen to have a crack at the new opportunity of Socratic question answering to gain a spiritual opportunity. It's just a conversation. You know, there's one of the again, episode one, which you should go back and watch. Episode one is one of the people in episode one is David Bennett. David Bennett is an activist in UTS, and when he went there, he was involved in student politics. He turns up one night to a pub, and he's just going to a gathering of people at a local pub. And when he walks in, Genevieve is sitting across the room. Now, he knows Genevieve because Genevieve produced a short film that won the largest short film festival in the globe, on the globe. And he sees her there. She's 19 when she does this. And he thinks a couple of things. One, she would be a great interview for the student paper. And secondly, love to know why she produced that video. And, you know, why do that? So he goes across to have a conversation with Genevieve. That's all it was. And in the conversation, he says, so why did you produce this? She said, well, God told me. He said, which God? She said, Jesus. He was really disappointed. It's a conversation. And something else happened in that conversation which changed David Bennett's life on that night for the rest of his life that he still follows. It's an encounter with Jesus. But it starts with a conversation. It starts with being open. It starts with interacting with other people. Just have a conversation. I tell you really funny conversations in one of our other series. Just down the road is Engadine Anglican Church. There's a guy called Tim Booker who used to go to Engadine Anglican, went there from the day he was, basically the week he was born. I think he turned up there, had been going there for 18 years. And when going to church every week, goes to start to work. He's working in an insurance industry in the city, and they're having lunch one day, and he's sitting with a couple of colleagues, and the colleague said, yeah, you go to church, don't you? And he said, yeah. And the guy said to him, in a conversation, he said, so, what's that whole Christian thing about? And Tim Booker's like, well, it's about Jesus, and it's about God and the Bible, and I think that's the Trinity. And then later he's like, Tim, you idiot. You've been doing this for 18 years and you don't know what you believe. Goes home, gets on the phone to his mate Chris Edwards, now Bishop of North Sydney, and he says, Chris, what do I believe? Do you know what you believe? Roxy, a few weeks ago, I'm just trying to prove to Mark, I've actually been here a couple of times. Roxy, a couple of weeks ago, actually preached about 1 Peter 3, 14-15. What was that say? Always be ready to give a defense when asked. Do it with grace. Are you ready for those conversations? Are you ready to have conversations about encountering Jesus? The second thing, though, is what happens next. It's the Bible. You see, how foolish you are, Jesus said, just a quiet, thoughtful approach. How slow to believe that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. It started with a conversation, but Jesus points to the Old Testament. It starts with a conversation, but the Bible matters. The Bible is still a powerful tool for people to encounter Jesus. And in fact, I would suggest that in some way, if you're looking for an encounter with Jesus or for other people, the Bible's the place to go to, not as the only place, not the only way forward, but don't be afraid of it. Kanishka Raphael is the Archbishop of the Anglican Diocese of Sydney. We interviewed him in St. Andrew's Cathedral. In fact, there's a very cool drone shot that we took in St. Andrew's Cathedral. Wait till you see that. And so we're chatting to Archbishop Kanishka Raphael. Archbishop Kanishka Raphael grew up not as an Anglican. He grew up as a Buddhist. And in university, studying law to be a barrister, and studying Buddhism because he felt he should understand his faith a bit more. That's where he was at when he had some interactions with Christians. I won't tell you the whole story other than one of them gave him John's Gospel. And he promised this friend that he would read John's Gospel. And there's one hot Sydney summer evening. He couldn't sleep. He wasn't sure. And he's like, gosh, I told this bloke I'd read this Gospel and I can't sleep. Perhaps this will help put me to sleep. So he starts reading John's Gospel. Until he gets to John 6, 44 and 45, changed his life. I said to Kanishka, was it just reading the Bible? And he said, no, there was a spiritual interaction going on in that moment. Reading the Bible is not just comprehension. It's not just understanding, which it is, but it's not just that. Something else is going on. There's a spiritual interaction going on. God's word speaks into people's lives. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's use it. Thirdly, he says, recognizing the clock over there, says 10:28. And as I'm not the senior pastor, I'm here under the grace of the senior pastor, and I'm only up to 3.3 of 5. So let me keep moving. Three, worship. What happens when they get to the place? Jesus looks like he's going to go somewhere else. They say, come and have a meal with us. There's this lovely little verse there where he says, and they urged him strongly, stay with us. When it was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Now, that was a moment of worship that he'd shown them just a few weeks, days before. The communion, breaking bread together. And it's almost like a worshipful moment where he reaches back and said, this is what you're to do when you gather together. And don't underestimate the power and influence of worship. There's a research being done in Australia called Our Doing Becomes Us. It's only a very small group, but this lady followed about 9 people who had come to faith in Australia. And what she found out was 7 of the 9 had been at church and practicing spiritual disciplines before they became a Christian. Invite your friends to church, because it's in church that there are people who engage with Jesus. When you watch episode 2, you will see Alonzo Paul had an opioid addiction. A friend tried to cut his head off with a sword in a psychotic moment. He gets taken to hospital. When he comes out of hospital, his sister says, won't you come to church? I say to Alonzo Paul, what did you think about going to church? And he said, I didn't want to go. I already felt like, excuse the language, a piece of crap. If I go to church, I'm just going to feel more shame on myself. That's all that's going to happen. And yet, what did he discover? He encountered Jesus. Because week after week, he just sat there. In fact, he got really annoyed. You'll see this when you watch his episode. He got really annoyed because every week the pastor was talking right at him. Like the first week, it's like, okay, that's kind of aimed at me. He said, after a few weeks, it's like, dude, you're doing my head in. You're following me around? Was that the preacher following him around? If it was, it's a little scary, but it wasn't. What was it? Spirit of God at work. You know, one of the mistakes of the church in the West is that we've underestimated the influence of worship. And we've stopped asking people to church, and we've even downgraded the place of church. Worship changes people's lives, not just when they're Christians, but when they get to a place where they experience the Spirit of God with other people. Fourthly, we see their burning hearts. This goes right to the end. Verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when they talked to us on the road? I think, my idea, every person has a burning heart looking for enchantment into their lives. They mostly miss it because they're so cynical and skeptical. And yet within us, there's this longing to know God. There's a longing for something deeper. Actually, you're here because that's what you feel. You actually feel that the Spirit of God will touch you in some way, shape, or form. This is not just a routine. There's this notion, this sometimes a deep dream and hope that God will touch me. That God would speak to me, that my heart is burning for something more. You know what? God wants to meet that burning. Maybe not in the way that you expect, but that's what happens. And what's the last thing we see? The miraculous. Now, verse 31, then their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. It's in a miraculous moment. And we ought to all recognize that the miracles happened. We believe in a supernatural God. We can't be sure that it's going to happen. We can't dictate that it's going to happen, but we should be ready for the miraculous. So what happened to David Bennett? He's talking to Genevieve. They're in this pub. They start with a conversation. That's all it was, a conversation. He asked the question, who helped you, you know, do this? God, Jesus? Oh, no. And then she says, can I pray for you? Now, Genevieve, was her prayer, because in episode 1, you actually see both sides of the story. We interview them both. And I said, what did you want? And she actually stops. She breaks down. This was several years ago. And she said, I just wanted David to know that God loved him. That was it. That was the whole motivation for his prayer, her prayer for David. I just want you to know that God loves you. So she says to David, can I pray for you? His response was, well, I'm an agnostic. Knock yourself out. You'd hardly think it was the most positively disposed personality to see something happen, would you? They're in a pub. She leans over, hand on his shoulder, and prays a simple prayer. In that moment, he said, it was as if somebody put a pin drop in his head and flooded his body with warm oil. It's a miraculous moment. He encountered Jesus. And David Bennett today still encounters Jesus, still follows Jesus. And that moment changed his life. Mark actually said a few weeks ago, it's not mostly encountering Jesus is not a moment, it's a process. And I absolutely believe that. And in these other things that you see through conversations, through reading the Bible, through going through worship, the burning hearts within us, that is always a process. And I agree with that absolutely. But there are moments that God breaks in. And we should look for them. We should pray for them. And let me be so bold as a Baptist to say this, we should expect them. You're going to love this series because it's about people encountering Jesus. People's lives are deeply changed now and into eternity. There's a quiet revival going on. You don't want to miss it. But it starts with each of us. When we did a series, Jesus the Game Changer, one of the things that we talked about was all the impacts that Jesus made across the globe, and that helped change society. And I would often say to groups of people that the mistake of thinking that is that Jesus brought societal changes which changed our communities, and that's why we are what we are. And I said, that's wrong, because Jesus changes people one life at a time. And in some senses, preaching is an interesting thing because you talk to a largish group like this. But preaching is absolutely an individual thing. I am talking to you as an individual, as a person. And God wants to encounter you. God wants to change your life. God wants you to experience his love and his power. God wants you to know he loves you. God wants to see his goodness flow into every part of your life. That's why we were created. Wouldn't you want to know that? As the band comes up, let me pray. In this moment, you might have a prayer. What's on your heart? Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us. That you created us to live in a relationship with you. And you created us to know wonder and enchantment through the Spirit of God. I pray for each person here who is just desperate for that. Prayed in this quiet moment that you might speak into their lives. Touch their heart at the deepest level. Lord, for all of us, we pray that we would encounter you and we would help other people to encounter you through conversations, through your word, through worship, through the burning hearts within each of us, and through your miraculous power. Lord, I just pray that you would save us from going through a dull and boring life that loses enchantment. Lord, we prayed again today that we'd deepen our focus on you because we've encountered Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.